This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. Citizens' councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The citizens' councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have back on the program once again today Senator John C. Stennis, Democrat from Mississippi. Senator Stennis is chairman of the Special Preparedness Subcommittee currently investigating the muzzling of the military. Senator Stennis, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Dick. I'm delighted to be with you again.
Senator Stennis, your special subcommittee has been holding hearings into the muzzling of the military and various charges made in that connection. What is the present status of these hearings?
Well, presently, we're in the second major phase of the hearings, which has to do primarily with the troop information and education program. This goes to the indoctrination of the troops as they come into the services, as well as courses for those that have been there quite a while, including the officers, and includes also the regular training with reference to foreign countries they may go to. And, of course, it includes anti-communism teachings and indoctrinations, because we must know, be familiar with what the real challenge is of our times and who our enemy is and about his tactics and beliefs.
And the purpose of this phase of the inquiry, then, is to determine if our troops are receiving the adequate training in this matter.
Correct. As to just how far the training program does go down at the level where the men are. We're going to start at the top, so to speak, where it originates, the procedures, the practices, and the films and everything, and then follow it right on down to where the troops are.
Well, Senator Stennis, the first part of this investigation covered the censorship of speeches made by various military leaders. Now, this part of it has been virtually completed, has it not?
Correct. We are virtually through. We'll go back and pick up some of the loose ends, but we've made a lot of progress, and we found that many changes are in order, and we're going to have some real improvements to come from our hearings. We're going to make definite recommendations too.
During your inquiry into this phase, you heard testimony from officials at the Pentagon and also from officials at the State Department.
Yes, first we interviewed, if I may take just a moment.
Certainly.
There, we literally interviewed hundreds of witnesses. I talked to many of the generals and admirals myself, including many of the other witnesses. The staff reviewed over 1,500 speeches, as well as many other documents. And the staff has visited more than 50 military installations throughout the country, contacting various levels of this problem. And we've presented this in open hearing, the major points, but that represents a small part of the work.
Now, there were some incidences then that there were actual examples cited of speeches which had been censored.
Oh, yes, we brought out in the open hearing many of those speeches, not all of them, but we tabulate them. They are available for anyone that's interested. And also in that connection, we had the names of the men who did the actual censoring, the ones who passed on the speeches. We've interviewed them, either committee or through the staff members, and have talked to them, know what their testimony would be. We put one or two of them on the stand. The only point the committee has been stopped on with reference to the presidential privileges or executive privileges was on asking just what censored X speech or a particular speech. Who passed on this particular paragraph? Who struck it out? Now, we needed to know that in order to get all the facts. And that would have given us a better chance to determine just what the policy was this man was acting on, whether he was capricious, or whether he was trying to throw his weight around, or what policy he was following, and what is the source of the policy. But the fact that we didn't get that doesn't stop us at all. We continuing, for instance, the State Department, we called on them to give us written reasons for each of the deletions that they made in most of these speeches. Deletions are changes, and then they'll send a witness back with those reasons, subject to cross-examination. And in that way, we are going to get deeper into the matter.
I know that the record on this is going to be quite voluminous and that a good bit of study will be required, but based on your preliminary study of the record, have you reached any conclusions in your own mind on the censorship of speeches?
Well, always reserving the right to pass on again when all the proof's in, but it's clear now, and I think, I speak only for myself, but I think to all of us, that of necessity there has to be some kind of clearance or some kind of censorship when you have a great many of people, whether they're military or not, as a part of the government making speeches on national policy or foreign policy. Otherwise, our people would be confused as to just what is our policy. Our allies would not know just where we stood if three or four men on the same day make speeches and have a different conclusion on the same points. And particularly our adversaries or our enemies. If we are speaking the same day on many different versions, different policies, and contradicting each other, why they say there's no unity, there's no strength, there's nothing to fear from that country. But the review must be within reason and not based on caprice and pettiness and no throwing around the weight. And there must be clear lines of authority, and we must agree, too, that the policy comes through in a clearly defined way. And I think it's going to help a lot to have the legislative branch looking over the shoulder, so to speak,
I see,
of these censors. Now, I want to say this, too, that the biggest thing about our military departments is their own self-discipline, their own pride, and their professional conduct as soldiers and as military men. And that takes care of a great many of these problems far better than you can by passing a law.
Do you believe, Senator, based on your study of the speeches that have been censored that were presented to your committee, that perhaps the censors were a little bit overcautious in taking out certain things?
I think so. Yes, I think so. And I think whenever a censor was doubtful about a matter, he took it out. And I think one of our recommendations would be that this work be done by a higher board of review. And another thing, I'm going to recommend that any statement prepared for delivery to congressional committees in executive session, in closed session, not be censored at all. And let him come on and say what he wants to us. And then if they want to publish that speech later, they can take out the parts that they don't think it should go for any reason that they wish. But there must be a direct line of communications between them and the members of Congress. Now, I think if a military man was asked a question in these closed sessions by a member of the House or Senate, he always felt free to answer and did answer freely. But I don't like the idea of these closed sessions anyway, having the censor to come in ahead of the speech. Let him follow it before it's published, if it's published at all.
Well, would you say a fair summary statement might be that there might very well be times when our military leaders, indeed our entire government, should be talking tough, but they should be talking in the same language and saying the same
things? That's correct. Absolutely. That's a good way to express it. It must be firm and positive and talking tough, as you say, but at the same time, there must be unity and clearness and positiveness in all of it along the same channel in the same line. That lends for strength. Otherwise, we weaken ourselves.
Now, in the phase of the inquiry currently underway, the Troop Information and Education Program, what is this going to involve?
Well, this is going to involve the schooling that's done, the indoctrination that's done to our troops, and the experience in the field is just how the program works. And I'm going to recommend that we inaugurate a very definite system of classes with a minimum number of hours required in each service per month. And we teach not only evils of communism, but we teach the positive virtues of our own system of government. What freedom means, what liberty means, what the right to vote means, to choose our own officers, and the responsibilities that go under our form of government. That each individual citizen has a positive duty to maintain this liberty and freedom. That's the thing we've neglected, and we can't do all this just in the military services. That's just one segment of our people. We must do it everywhere, in the home and in the school and in the factory and on the farm and in our vocational training schools, our labor union, our lodges, everywhere. I think we've got to have a revival of this good, solid Americanism. Must be taught and emphasized more.
Senator, is this the phase of the inquiry during which General Walker might be called?
Yes, General Walker will be called in with reference to the troop information and education program. He wasn't called with reference to the censorship of speeches. None of his speeches had been censored. He wasn't located in Washington. I don't have a date yet when we'll get the part he's in, but we don't want to get mixed up in the Texas primaries either. The fact that we having General Walker is based upon his military experience, and committed to make it clear that we has nothing to do with the political race.
I see. Have the members of this special subcommittee shown a high degree of interest in attending sessions of the...
Yes, they have. It comes at a very busy time of the year, but I know that when they're not there, they keep up with it through the record. They send someone to listen to all this testimony from their offices, and they called me over the telephone and manifested the very finest interest and the deep concern about it.
How about the American people at large? Have you any indication that the public is interested in the hearings?
I think so. The press has covered it well. We're still getting a lot of mail. It's generally read, and I told by a gentleman who's been all over Western Europe recently, he said it's circulated over there to a great extent in the American newspapers in Western Europe. Of course, that's where we have our troops located.
Senator Stennis, our time has gone by very quickly.
Well, I'm sorry it's so fast.
I'd like to thank you for taking time out to give us this report and look forward to having you again soon.
Thank you.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Senator John C. Stennis, Democrat from Mississippi, chairman of the Special Senate Preparedness Investigating Subcommittee. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.